Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today our reflection is from the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled, Open Our Eyes, Lord.
Once again, Balak sent officials, more numerous and more distinguished than these. They came to Balaam and said to him, Thus says Balak, son of Zippor, Do not let anything hinder you from coming to me, for I will surely do you great honor, and whatever you say to me, I will do. Come, curse this people for me. But Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, Although Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord my God to do less or more. You remain here, as the others did, so that I may learn what more the Lord may say to me. That night God came to Balaam and said to him, If the men have come to summon you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you to do. So Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went off with the officials of Moab. God's anger was kindled because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the road as his adversary. Now he was riding on a donkey, and his two servants were with him. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road, with a drawn sword in his hand. So the donkey turned off the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with the wall on either side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it scraped against the wall and scraped Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck it again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. Then the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. It lay down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and it said to Balaam, What have I done to you that you struck me these three times? Balaam said to the donkey, Because you've made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand. I would kill you right now. But the donkey said to Balaam, Am I not your donkey, which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I been in the habit of treating you in this way? And he said, No. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down, falling on his face. The angel of the Lord said to him, Why have you struck your donkey these three times? I have come out as an adversary against your way to is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away from me, surely I would by now have killed you and let it live. Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, therefore, if it is displeasing to you, I will return home. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you to speak. So Balaam went with the officials of Balak. This is the word of the Lord. It's quite a good story, isn't it, really?
It's a very good story indeed. Yes. Thank you very much, Lynn. And our New Testament is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7, starting at verse 36 to the end. Thank you, Leslie.
Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in the town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgot the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. She did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Excuse me. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you, Joycey. And thank you, Leslie, for those two readings, very good readings. And maybe the key word is how do we look at things? The first Balaam didn't see that his donkey's unwillingness or disturbing behavior had actually a spiritual realities to it. And it made me think, actually, I think I shared at the church or in one of the meetings of the church that I think it's about last week, our dog was very restless through the few nights to the point that we couldn't sleep because he was roaming around and jumping on the beds till about 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock. And I now realized, well, was there a little bit more to it than maybe just an upset stomach? If it wasn't upset stomach, but just maybe just one evening, was there maybe something more? Did I take the time to maybe pray? Did I take the time to even, and I did share that I did pray for my animal, and I think it's right. All of God's creation is loved and precious to God. We have a special responsibility towards creation and special status. But we also share with all of creation the beauty and the life that God wants to express through all of creation. So maybe for me, that's one of the things to think about. This donkey saw more than what Balaam saw. In a sense, the donkey was more spiritual. The only thing that I don't understand in this story is that when the donkey start talking to Balaam, Balaam just replied to him as a normal person. So if my dog ever was going to start talking to me, I wonder if my reaction would just be, oh, let's talk back to him. I think I would be a little bit more concerned about my mental health. But it is about seeing spiritual realities. And maybe in our Western world, where we've been taught from early on that, you know, science can explain everything and that's it, that's all that there is. And where there is even a strong philosophy that, well, we've killed God, we don't really need God anymore, we can explain everything. And I think there is a big change in our younger generation, where they realize, well, science don't answer all the questions. They answer important questions about how the world works and that helps us to have technology. But technology is not the answer to our heart and to our longing for meaning and for relationships and for love and for identity. It may improve our lives. It may also destroy our lives. And we know that our technology have both the potential to help us live better, or have the potential when it's fueled by greed or by a power, it has a potential to harm nature and to harm us. And the New Testament reading is the same. Jesus see much better than Simon. This woman, Simon only saw a sinner, a person who was disrupting his dinner. But Jesus saw her heart, and she saw her love. And she saw that by showing love and respect to Jesus, she was actually showing love and respect to God himself. She saw in Jesus something that Simon didn't see. And wonderful story for Simon. The story of, well, if you have two people and one is really in debt, you know, have a few millions to pay back, and one's just a few thousand, and both are the debt council, which one do you think will be more grateful? Which one do you think will love better? And surely the one who has the bigger debt, he says. And he says, well, look, this woman that you call the big sinner comes to me and showed love, and her debt has now been cancelled. And they would understand straight away in that context that there is only one person who can forgive sin. There is only one person. No human beings can forgive sin. So by forgiving sins, Jesus was identifying himself with God. Only God can forgive our sins. And I don't think Jesus was saying, well, there are people with bigger debts and people with smaller debts. Human size, maybe, you know, and that's why we have justice systems, and people do bigger harm to others, physical harm. And in that sense, we think, well, some people are more guilty than others. But in God's sight, we all need redemption, and we are all in need of forgiveness. And the forgiveness is all huge. We all have big debts with God. And when we start realizing how huge God's forgiveness towards us is, we are more free to love others, whatever their background, because we know better. We might have had better circumstances. We might have had better parents, which helped us maybe behave kinder. But if we were in similar situations with similar backgrounds, we might have behaved just the same, because it's really the root that needs to be healed. And so today, let's continue to pray that God will open our eyes to his love for us, so that we might then love others better and with more energy, and to be opened to the spiritual realities around us, to be more in tune. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He directs, he teaches, he instructs, he comforts, he protects. So as we are in this in-between time, between ascension, when we've celebrated Jesus being at the right side of God, preparing to send the Holy Spirit on the first disciples, on the first church, let us pray that also God will continue to refresh us with his presence, and maybe surprise us with new directions, with something new for the life of the church. Tonight we have our annual meeting, so let's pray that we will see God's presence, and that we will be sensitive to his guidance and to his words. So let's pray for those we know, for the task ahead, for the world and its needs, and for the church and its witness. Lord God, you are Lord of all creation. It is all for your glory It all reflects your beauty, your power, your holiness, your creativity. And it pains us to see that most pictures, most news we hear today in the media are not news of creativity and beauty, news of fellowship and care, but they're pictures of disorder and pain, suffering. Lord, help us, your church, to tell a different story and to live a different story. Fall afresh on us, Holy Spirit, that the same kind of passion that was at the early stage of the church, the joy, the fellowship, the generosity, which spoke to the people at that time, and the power of the proclamation of the good news of Jesus. Lord, forgive when we are satisfied with small things, when you are really a powerful God and a God who longs to reconcile people to yourself. Forgive your church when we are more interested in our own survival and our own little clubs than in being your witness to a world that is in pain, and especially the generation that has no contact with the church or distrust even your people. Lord, open our eyes in the same way that Balaam needed his eyes to be open, and Simon. Open our eyes to your reality and to your intentions and purposes.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.